I actually received a message from one of my doctors this morning, and he said this. He said, I don't know whether you're having church today, but please make sure everyone knows that our elderly are most at risk, and everyone else may be a symptomatic carrier, and pray that God will help us find guidance during this time of illness, greed, and panic. So we're going to pray over this thing, okay? We're going to pray over this. Also, friend, if you wouldn't mind coming up, this is one of the reasons I just absolutely appreciate different ones in the body of Christ with different responsibilities. And Sister Fran is our missions coordinator in contact with our missionaries. And so she's going to share with us why we need to pray over a couple of these missionaries that have contacted us.
Rick Morgan, he has sent out for a prayer request. One thing that they're getting ready to vote for in El Salvador is martial law. And then our missionary, Wade Weaver, they have,
in Spain,
have now instituted that if you're in the streets, you can get arrested and fined and possible jailed. They are really facing some tough times, but we know God's got them, and God can walk it through them. But let's pray for their whole church and all their surroundings.
Amen. And so we will do that. So we're talking about in countries who don't enjoy the freedom that we enjoy, and the government comes to the church and tells them, you cannot have church today. So that's what's happened in Spain. That's what has happened in El Salvador. So we need to pray over our missionaries as they deal with that situation. And today we have a choice. Welcome. We're glad you're here. Amen. Could I get one of the ushers, if you would, bring that hand sanitizer pump? Would you bring that up here? Yeah. Thank you. Amen. I meant to grab that on the way in, but I didn't get her done.
One of those is off my desk, and there's only that much, so don't
use very much. Okay. Thank you, brother. We're addressing the elephant in the room. What about this thing, okay? So I want to make a demonstration here, if I can, okay? This is not a lack of faith. It's not a lack of faith. You say, oh, I'm trusting God. Well, I am too, but this is not a lack of faith. You know, if some actions that we take that are wise, preventative whatsoever, you know, we can judge people to various degrees on where they're at, okay? But let me suggest this to you. If for whatever reason that you were, let's say, mowing with a mower, and for whatever reason you accidentally, well, you shouldn't have been mowing with flip-flops in the first place, but let's say you were mowing in flip-flops and accidentally got a toe underneath one of those mowers. Somebody's done that? Let's give Leroy. Oh, man. Did you call a tow truck? Yeah. Oh my goodness. Now, I can't speak for Leroy, but I would speak for myself. If I look down and I've got the liquid of life going like this, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to have my wife grab that toe and make that blood quit squirting out there.
I'll help you put your hand on it.
Okay. Why? Well, that could thing just be going like this. You say, well, I'm not going to do anything with that. I'm just going to trust God. Well, you might meet him in just a few minutes if you don't take some action of wisdom. You hear what I'm saying? Okay. So this is not a lack of faith. And we had a good brother who likes to do things in the background, serve, went down and wiped down our doors. Thank God for that, okay? So, you know, God is going to take care of us, but doing certain things is not a lack of faith. And so what I want to do this morning is we're first going to pray together, and then we're going to look at the scripture together and read it together and make it a confession of our faith. And then I want to talk about our words. So if you would, let's just pray. We're going to pray like my doctor asked us. He said, pray that God will help us find guidance during this time of illness, greed, and panic. So let's pray over that right now. Father, we come in the name of Jesus, and we lift everyone who has a place of authority and decision. We pray for their guidance. Lord, that also includes moms and dads, parents, guidance in how we are to deal with this thing that is in our world today. And Lord, we just pray, Lord, for guidance for our leaders, our spiritual leaders, our church leaders, our governmental leaders, Lord, from local to abroad. And Lord, we pray for our president. Lord, we pray for him that he will be secured from this in the name of Jesus. Lord, surround him with your angels, Lord, of protection, and that if this thing even tries to connect him, it'll fall dead. It'll fall dead at his feet. And Lord, I would include that for everyone else in the name of Jesus. Father, we pray for our missionaries who don't have the freedom that we have, and the government can shut them down. Lord, we thank you for the freedoms that we have here, that, Lord, we can stand in faith, that we do have freedom, and we can go ahead and meet with one another and enjoy each other's presence together with you. And Lord, those who have chosen to stay home, we thank you that you love them. You have not changed your mind about them. Lord, you love them. You are the forever blessed, happy God, according to scriptures. And Lord, so they can enjoy your presence at home, and we're going to enjoy your presence here as well, in the name of Jesus. And God, as that technology has been, so that some of these missionary pastors have been able to go ahead and minister the word online and through Facebook and social media, live feeds. Lord, we thank you for that ability. And Lord, we thank you for your goodness. In the name of Jesus we pray, amen, amen. Okay, so let's go to Psalm 91. We're going to go to Psalm 91, and this is going to be displayed on the screen. And so it's got several verses there. And if I were in my previous religious state, I would have us all stand. So I'm going to be gracious and let you rest in the Lord, okay? So we're going to sit, but let's read out loud together. Now, there's going to be some things in this chapter that maybe particularly haven't really stood out to you, but in the context of what we're dealing with today, the elephant in the room, it's going to take particular, it's going to mean something a little bit more for you today. And then I have a few words to share. Okay? Let's read this together. Those who live in the shelter of the Most High will find rest in the shadow of the Almighty. Isn't that a great promise? What will we find? Rest. Amen. This I declare about the Lord. He alone is my refuge, my place of safety. He is my God, and I trust Him. For He will rescue you from every trap and protect you from deadly disease. Amen? So let's change the words from you to me. Let's make it personal. This is our personal confession of faith. Now, whether our heart is there yet or not, we're going to let the Word of God, the seed of the Word of God, maybe rebirth in us a measure of faith that will be the shield about us. You know, what our heart believes has everything to do with our life. What our heart believes has everything to do with the course of our life. You want proof? Proverbs 4:23. Above all else, guard your heart because it determines the course of your life. Woo. So, He will rescue me from every trap and protect me from deadly disease. Woo! Glory. Say what? Okay, wait, go back. For you, oh, saying it directly to him. Okay, let's do that. For you will rescue me from every trap and protect me from deadly disease. Man, that's good enough just to go ahead and dismiss, go home, because man, I'll tell you, that's powerful right there. Okay, next verse. You, let's just follow that through. Now, I may get this messed up, so you guys go ahead and say you when it says he, okay? You will cover me with your feathers. You will shelter me with your wings. Your faithful promises are your armor and, oh, my armor and protection. We're going to get through this, all right? Phew. I just love this. Do not be afraid of the terrors of the night, nor the error that flies in the day. So when we're making this our personal confession and saying you and all, so we'll, you're speaking to yourself. Hey, Cecil, do not be afraid, okay? So you could say, I will not be afraid of the terrors. Let's sing it. Let's sing it. We don't want to go there. Not while I'm leading. Okay? Let's say it. I will not be afraid of the terrors of the night, nor the arrows that flies in the day. I will not dread the disease that stalks in darkness, nor the disaster that strikes at midday. Well, you got to stay on top of these little changes, don't you? Though 1,000 fall at my side, though 10,000 are dying around me, these evils will not touch me. Hey, is that relevant or what? Man, phew. I'm going to tell you, God's been a whole lot gooder to us than we have realized. Amen. Okay, I will open my eyes and see how the wicked are punished. Now, isn't that strange that it would say that? But one thing you have to remember is that this is before the cross. Uh-huh. And what happened at the cross? He took all the punishment of everybody's wickedness. See, if we try to live today with a mix of old covenant theology, we're going to end up in the wrong place, filled with fear. Hallelujah. There is no punishment for the wicked because Jesus took it on. That's why it's called the good news. By the way, don't let me forget where I am, but I've got to share with you what I learned last night. Dr. Will Sharpless shared this with me, and he said the good news. Now, we all know what the good news is, right? What's the good news? Or what's the gospel? Excuse me. The good news. So he goes into the history of the word good news. Good news was not a religious term. It was not rooted. It's not rooted in a religious term. What it means is this: a message of victory from the front line. Think if you're the leader of an army. Let's say you're the king, okay? And your soldiers have to go to battle, go to war. Now, when that is done, when whatever happens, there has to be somebody to come back to the king and say, give him a report on what happened, okay? The gospel, which is good news, is rooted. And so then the writers of the New Testament took advantage of that to say, here is a victorious report from the battlefront. I'm going to tell you, Jesus won. The devil is defeated. Sickness is under his feet. Hallelujah. Whew! That's why the good news is, because the victory has already been won. Hallelujah. That's just kind of like an hors d'oeuvre or something. Okay, so let's go to the next verse. See, I have to translate this before as we go. Okay. I will make the Lord my refuge. I will make the Most High my shelter. No evil will conquer me. Let's say that again together. Make this your personal confession. You're given evidence from the Word of God to your heart what to believe. Okay? No evil will conquer me. No plague will come near my home. Oh my goodness. I'm going to tell you, that's the promises of God. Hallelujah. Okay? For He will order... Sorry. For you will order your angels to protect me wherever I go. Now, did you see the two verses there? He said, the plague will not come near my home. And when I'm not home, I'm out there. His angels go with me and I have the same protection. Whether I stay home or I choose to go to Walmart, I'm going to be covered by His wings. Isn't that good? Hallelujah. Boy, I hope you're getting something out of this because I'm about to bust. Okay, they then are the angels. They will hold me up with their hands so I won't even hurt my foot on a stone. Wow. Wow. I will trample upon lions and cobras. Wait. I will trample on coronavirus. Whatever can do harm, I'm going to trample over that. Hallelujah. Okay, let's read that again. Not with the coronavirus, but what that says. I will trample upon lions and cobras. I will crush the fierce lions and serpents under my feet. Hallelujah. You say, this is not as easy as it looks. You say, I will rescue those who love me. I will protect those who trust in my name. Okay, so we're quoting what he said. Okay. When they call upon me, I will answer. I will be with them in trouble. I will rescue and honor them. Let me ask you the question. Is the world experiencing a lot of trouble in their hearts and minds? Uh-huh. Let's go back. See, this is unrehearsed, so we're just taking this as it comes. I will answer. I will be with them in trouble. I will rescue and honor them. Guys, let's make this a confession. He will rescue me and honor me. He will rescue me and honor me. Next. Thank you. This is God quoting God. I will reward them with a long life and give them my salvation. You get that? This coronavirus is not going to bring you down. It's not going to get you. Because I've been promised a long life. Wow. Let's go to the next one. Thank you for working with me, Brother Bill. Oh, that's it? Oh, okay. Whoa, I didn't realize it was only 16. Okay, so we have made this confession together. And I would say, let's make that breakfast every day this week, shall we? And make that confession over our hearts and over our mouth. Now, let's see what... At least, now this is not going to be an exhaustive presentation I'm going to make this morning, but let's see what Jesus had to say about our words. About our words. Let's go to Mark 11, 22 through 24. It says, so Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. Now, you've heard me a few weeks ago preach on that passage. And if you'll remember the incident that happened, it was within the context of a fig tree. Now, it's not by accident or just by pulling something out the air that this fig tree was the object of discussion and demonstration. The Lord had a demonstration with His fig tree, but it wasn't an oak tree, it wasn't a pecan tree, it wasn't some other tree, but it was a fig tree. So we see what Jesus was saying to His disciples there, because the fig tree is symbolic throughout the Scriptures. The fig tree throughout the Scriptures is a picture of self-righteousness, of works, and because of self-righteousness and works, it is also symbolic of the law. And so Jesus had a message behind the message. And the thing about self-righteousness and depending on your own works, which was the law, not for what God had purposed it to be, but what the Jews had made it to be, is that one is made righteous with God through his works. And so that's why the Pharisees and the Sadducees were so proud of themselves. And they had faith in themselves. Jesus was saying to them at the cursing of the fig tree that there was no fruit. There was no fruit. So he says, have faith in God. Right there we have the contrast of grace and the finished work of Christ versus self-righteousness and works and self-righteousness and works. Okay? Because it had been not fruitful, it had served its purpose, and now it's done. Okay, so Jesus says, have faith in God. And as we go on to see what he says there, that if I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast in the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes those things which he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Now, in the purest of the context, that's what he's doing. He is bringing in the new covenant in his teachings, in his parables, and in his demonstration of healing, manifestation of the kingdom of God. And so when he says this, I would suggest to you it is all-encompassing, because I'm going to make this very true statement that grace is the doorway to experience God in greater intimacy. Let me say that again. Walking through into the revelation of grace is the door to greater intimacy with God. And that's why he says to have faith in God. And notice what he says about you shall have whatever he says. There's something about saying that has an impact on the kingdom of God. Something about the saying. Let's go on to verse 24. Therefore I say to you, whatsoever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. So here we have a two-part thing, principle that Jesus brings out. Not only praying, but also saying. There's the praying and then the saying. I would caution us that if we pray one thing and then say another, we might just find ourselves walking, you know, chasing our tail in circles. Okay? That's what I'm going to suggest to you. But Jesus said, if you pray, believing in your heart, and then if you say. So that's an incredible principle for us to grab hold on to in any situation in life. But it starts with grace. It starts with trusting in Christ. Did you know, here's a powerful thing. Here's a powerful thing. Dr. Will Sharpless said this again last night as I was fellowshipping in him. He said, if we could never earn salvation, then how could we ever lose it? If we didn't earn it in the first place, How could it, if we could never gain salvation by our actions, how could ever we lose it by our actions? See, here's the thing. The Bible says that the gift of righteousness, the what? Calls the gift of righteousness. And then Paul goes on to tell the Romans that the gifts and the callings of God are without repentance. That means God does not change His mind. Let me tell you, when you've received Christ, you are in Him, He is in you, and that righteousness can never be stolen by any power on earth, out of hell, or in the heavens. Never. No. Because our righteousness is not our own works. It is 1 Corinthians 1:30 that says, but it is of God that we are in Christ. And He has made Him, God has made Him, to become our righteousness, our sanctification, that's holiness, and our redemption. The devil is as likely to steal your righteousness as he is to steal Jesus' righteousness. Can't be done. You are sealed. Hallelujah. I'm going to tell you, this thing that God not only did for us on the cross, the resurrection, the ascension, and the seating, did just as much or more, I should say, in what He did to us. You that have been here for a while, you've heard me say that. See, here's where the modern day church has just cut themselves short from the glory of God and the glory of intimacy, is they just think that Jesus forgave them, that God forgave them of their sins, that they remembered, that they confessed, they asked for forgiveness, and it was all of the past, and then we got to do all that for our future sins. No, the blood was so powerful that it flowed eternity, past and present and future. Hallelujah. That's how powerful it was. Hebrews 10, 14 says that God hath perfected forever those whom He has made holy. Up above, He showed in the verses above, He said, so how did we be holy? How did we get made holy? Through the body and the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. See, you were holy before you ever born. Because He made us holy. He made us holy back when He was on the cross. I'm going to tell you, this is good news. What's what? It's a victory report from the battlefield. The devil is lost and Jesus has won. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's go see what Matthew 9:27, what Matthew had to say about this. He recorded in verses 27 through 29, he said, when Jesus departed from there, two blind men followed Him, crying out and saying, Son of David, have mercy on us. And when He had come into the house, the blind men came to Him and said, And Jesus said to them, do you believe that I am able to do this? Now notice what Jesus is pointing out. Okay. He is pointing out their belief. Where is the position of their heart? Okay. Where is the position of their faith? Do you believe that I am able to do this? They said to Him, yes, Lord. Then He touched their eyes, saying, and this is an incredible revealing sentence. According to your faith, let it be to you. That is an incredible thing. He says, according to your faith, let it be to you. Jesus said, according to your faith, let it be to you. Now we know that after the cross, after what Jesus said here, after the cross, Paul says that He has given us everything that regards life and godlikeness. Or Scripture says godliness, which godliness is godlikeness. And it says that God has given us everything in regard to life and godliness. He has given us everything in regard to life. Boy, I want to tell you, There's a lot of fear in this country. There's a lot of fear in this country. I believe that if this were all to run out, God would show somebody how to make toilet paper out of cauliflower. Thank you, Shiloh. She said, would somebody share on Facebook, share with me a recipe on how to make toilet paper out of cauliflower? It's a keto cold, you know, low carb thing. It's an inside joke. But he said, according to your faith, let it be unto you. So here's the thing. The fear that is driving our nation, it's not that they don't have any faith. You know, we could quickly say, well, these people need to have faith. They need to have faith. Well, they do have faith. They have misplaced faith. They have their faith in fear. They have their faith in lack. They have their faith in want. See what I'm saying? But Jesus said, have faith in God. Now, here's what I think God has done to us. I'm going to share just some thoughts with you about what I see the position that the body of Christ has now, since the body of Christ is in Him. He is seated at the right hand of the Father. We are seated with Him in heavenly places. And the writer of Philippians says that when we received Him, we are partakers of. Now, partakers of, we are in union with Him. Here it is. Because we are in union with Him and we are partakers of the divine nature. Oh, Holy Ghost, reveal that to us right now. Oh, Holy Ghost, reveal to us who we are, who You made us to be. Jesus, Holy Ghost, reveal to us who God has made us to be. Sons. Okay, here we go. If it's true that we are in union with Christ, you are part of the Godhead. Close the doors of the church. Coronavirus done got the Cecil. He's losing his mind. No, think about that. If I am in Him, and He is in me, and if John can say in 4:17 that as Jesus is, so are we in this world, that makes me a part of the Godhead. There's something about us that this window represents, but maybe we've missed. That's all about creation. So if it's true that we have become partakers of the divine nature, guess what? There will be no lack in our life because we see the first nature of God in the Scriptures as the Creator. God's people have the power of God to create wealth. I was going to mention Deuteronomy 8:18, where God says, I have given you the power to create wealth. If that's the case, then my wealth goes far beyond what can fit in my wallet. You know why? Because there's a kingdom out there. A warehouse. A storehouse. What is a storehouse? It is something that is housing all the provisions that one might have that is not presently in use. But what is it for? To go into and put it in use. Hallelujah. Walmart may not have this. Sam's may not have this, and as of yesterday, Town and Country doesn't have this. I'm a witness. Glory, hallelujah. But let me tell you, the kingdom's got more than this we could ever use. See, it's the changing of our mind. It's that metanoia, that repentance, of realizing that we don't have to walk in fear because God is going to take care of us. God is going to provide for us. You say, Oh, then I can quit my job. I wouldn't advise that. I might even have another job lined up if I'm going to quit a job. That's called wisdom. Amen? Now, I just, what I want to do is I want us to pray again, because we have made this our confession, and we have said it mine. But one thing that I've discovered that grace does, as displayed in Christ, where it said in Colossians that Jesus became like us, humbling himself to be a servant, and that we are to have his mind, a servant mind, knowing that we're sons, but having a servant heart, that is, thinking outside of ourselves and thinking of others. Jesus Christ came to serve. He said this that night that he had them, that he washed their feet. He said, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. And yet, who was he? He was the King of Glory. He had every right. He had every right to tell each one of them, come wash my feet. But instead, he was the one that put on the towel and he began to wash others' feet. So the doc told me this morning, he said, make sure that your people know that it's the elderly who are the most susceptible. So let's be a servant and let's make this confession over others. And that's really what that verse did before we translated it into us, me, our, and your. The same thing, the way it was written, is confessing that over others. Amen? So I'm going to pray. And if you will, I'm going to ask you not to pray. I'm going to ask you to be in agreement. Can you agree? Or at least try, okay? Father, we're thinking out of ourselves, outside of ourselves, as Jesus did. Lord, we are making ourselves available to you, that those who do not have these truths dwelling in them like it is in the believer, Lord, we take this authority and power and we speak it over our extended family, that coronavirus will not come near their house, and wherever they go, your angels will keep them safe. Father, we pray for the elderly, whom our professionals, God, you gave them wisdom. They're the ones that's doing the research and all that hubbub, Lord. So then we pray over the elderly in our homes, in our cities, in our counties, in our nation. We speak this same protection over them in the name of Jesus. God, we will go now further, because the beginning of it said, they that dwell in the secret place of the Most High are covered with your wings. Now we pray over our nation, Lord. We come as an intercessor, speaking your wings over this nation in the name of Jesus. Lord, I believe that our president have men and women surrounding him, Lord, who are getting the news, who are on top of this. But Father, I also believe that there are men and women in his under his influence that are in contact with you. They honor you. They seek your guidance. And I pray for their guidance, Lord, from the Holy Spirit. They'll walk in the Spirit, Lord, even when the enemy, Lord, the voice of accusation, the voice of doubt, the voice of division begins to rise up, they will condemn every judgmental word spoken against them in the name of Jesus when the righteous take action according to your leading. So we speak your wing over our country, O Lord, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Now in your own words, friends, let's worship God right now. Let's just thank God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Let's just return thanks to God for all of his goodness. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Lord, that we don't walk in fear of the arrow by night. Lord, of the bad news that tries to come in midday. Lord, we thank you that you are keeping our bodies pure. Lord, you are keeping our bodies protected. And when that coronavirus would come in our contact, it will die immediately, because it cannot stand the healer who and miracle worker who dwells in us, who is the hope of glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Blessed is the name of the Lord. Blessed is the name of the Lord. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Do you believe it?
Yes.
We're going to stand on his promise?
Yes.
Hallelujah.